Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the latest news from Wisconsin with the recall elections that may be a bellwether for national political trends in the coming election year. John Nichols, the nation's Washington editor and the associate editor of the Capital Times in Madison, Wisconsin, joins us. Then we will speak with Dahlia Lithwick, who is a contributing editor at Newsweek and a senior editor at Slate. She covers the Supreme Court and judicial issues, and we will discuss recent rulings that might put Donald Rumsfeld and, by extension, Dick Cheney in jeopardy for their role in encouraging the use of torture. Then finally, we'll examine the shocking growth of homelessness and hunger amongst America's children, outlined in the State of America's Children 2011, a recent report by the Children's Defense Fund. We will talk with one of the report's authors, Mary Lee Allen, who is Director of Child Welfare and Mental Health at the Children's Defense Fund. Joining us now from Wisconsin is John Nichols, who is the Nation's Magazine's Washington correspondent. He's also the associate editor of the Capital Times, the daily newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin. He and Rob McChesney co-authored It's the Media, Stupid, and Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Still Sells Wars, Spins Elections, and Destroys Democracy. He also wrote The Rise and Rise of Richard B. Cheney and Dick, the Man Who Is President, Dick Cheney. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Nichols.
It's a pleasure to be on with you. How are you doing?
Very well, and I guess you're doing okay. It's a mixed result here. If you were hoping that the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, would be completely repudiated, it didn't quite happen. Democrats won two of the Wisconsin State Senate seats in yesterday's recall election. So where does that place these very polarized politics in this important bellwether state?
It keeps them just about as polarized as they've been, and you've got this kind of brutal, ongoing battle between a Democratic Party that, because of recent developments, has become much more closely aligned with organized labor and the progressive movement. You know, you have Democrats now finishing their rallies raising clenched fists, and a Republican Party that, again, because of recent developments, has become much more aligned with, much more in sync with the Tea Party right and a lot of the conservative, really kind of core conservative movement, as well as the conservative billionaires who fund a lot of them. So the state's very divided. The recalls did not give you, you know, sort of that transformative moment where power is shifted and everything changes. But it's very important to recognize that, you know, we have a real problem in America. We tend to cover our politics as winner-take-all, that you just have to have a result, and that's all there is. Sometimes there's subtlety in a result that matters much more than is initially apparent. The Republicans lost two seats. That means that they now have a 17-16 majority in the very powerful state Senate of Wisconsin. But there is one maverick Republican who has sided with the Democrats on labor issues, on the core issues of this fight, collective bargaining, as well as on public funding and local services issues. This is a guy named Dale Schultz from a rural district in southwest Wisconsin. That maverick Republican now has the ability to say to his own caucus, you can't do this anymore. You cannot take away labor rights. You can't do a right-to-work bill, because if you do, I'll side with the Democrats on that issue. It's going to create a much different dynamic in the Capitol. So beneath the surface of this election, we have a shifted reality politically and policy-wise. And beyond that, we also have, because there are going to be two more recall elections next week, an intense focus on those elections, because Republicans are going to try and beat at least one Democratic senator so they're not stuck in this situation of having to deal with their maverick member.
So, John Nichols, given what's happened at the national level in Washington, D.C. recently, where it should be apparent to all that the far right of the Republican Party is running the party and that they've captured national policy and moved the country to the right. So are you saying that in Wisconsin we are witnessing the first pushback, because there is, at a national level, no apparent pushback from the left or the Democrats? So that's something that I find extraordinary, that the far right has captured American politics and the left is almost not showing up.
Moribund, yeah. So, yes, I will absolutely say that we have seen dramatic pushback in Wisconsin, and we've seen it in the right way. It hasn't just been electoral. There's, you know, media loves to focus on elections because they're so easy to cover. You have a date, you kind of have all sorts of intensity, and then on a certain night at a certain time, everything's settled, you can go on vacation. The reality of politics is it plays out at many levels. It plays out on the streets. It plays out in the halls of government. It plays out at polling places. In Wisconsin, you've seen that sort of multi-tiered politics, which is a much healthier, much more small-d democratic reality. And so we have had mass demonstrations, some of the largest pro-labor demonstrations in the history of the republic, 180,000 people out on one Saturday in March. We have had the largest number of legislative recalls ever in the history of the republic. You've never had nine of them in one summer, as we're facing right now. And again, that's a small-d democratic response. Two of these recall elections have seen members of the governor's party defeated within months after he was elected by a rather comfortable margin. That is a setback. And we have more coming, more recalls, more possibility, at least, of a recall of the governor himself, and sort of an intense politics. Literally, Ian, when I walked down the street in Madison just a, 20 minutes ago before doing this interview, I walked by, there was a huge labor rally where the unions that represent state employees are having people sign up to pay their dues. Their dues checkoff is going to be lost as part of the governor's attack on them, but people are signing up, affirmatively to say, I still want to be in the union, I still want to pay my dues. There were hundreds of people out doing this. And so you're seeing a mobilization and a political activism that I think many of us who've covered politics have long wondered, when was that going to happen? Where was that going to happen? It is happening in Wisconsin, but it's a hard fight because just labor and progressives are out there working very hard, doing, incredible stuff. You also have the wealthiest people in America, billionaires, they're saying that their top priority is to maintain Republican power in Wisconsin, flooding money into the state, just financing incredible campaigns. And so everything's turned up, and that's just the reality of the state at this point.
Again, I'm speaking with John Nichols, who is the Nation Magazine's Washington correspondent and associate editor of Madison, Wisconsin's Capital Times. We're talking about yesterday's recall elections in which two Republican senators were defeated. And as John Nichols said, there's one Republican senator who sometimes wavers, and that could bring it to a 16-16 stalemate?
It could give the Democrats a majority. Not that this guy's not going to switch parties.
No.
But on issues, if he sides with the Democrats, the Democrats will have a 17-16 majority.
The
significance of these two seats flipping is that it has put Democrats within the range. Let's put it another way. If we jettison partisan politics and we just imagine a kind of a left and a right or a pro-labor, anti-labor, we now have, because of these elections yesterday, a pro-labor majority in one of the chambers of the Wisconsin legislature. We didn't have that, and so that's a dynamic that has shifted.
So there was one race where the Democrat Jessica King beat Republican State Representative Randy Hopper, and he only won by 163 votes last time. So that's not a big surprise. But the one race that a lot of people were watching, because the county clerk there, Kathy Nicholas, she botched the results of the state Supreme Court race in April, which opened up all kinds of questions, which still, I think, a lot of people find troubling. The Democrat lost there and then basically a charge that Nicholas had tampered with the results, a charge that she later kind of backed down from. Where does that stand?
Well, look, Kathy Nicholas, who is the Waukesha County clerk, as you mentioned, has had a steady pattern of botched elections, problematic elections, where she has held the results back until long after the polls were closed. Everybody else's votes are counted, but somehow in this very sophisticated suburban county, they don't have them. And then in some cases, turning up tens of thousands of votes 2 days after the election, she has had elections reversed because the counting was so badly done. She's been rebuked by her own county board, a conservative Republican county board, because she makes such a mess of it. And it's just almost beyond comprehension that we've had this happen again. And sincere people, serious observers of elections, are saying this can't be chance. I mean, it appears that this woman always seems to blow it when there's a critical election for the Republican Party, which she has been aligned with and worked with for a very long time. That's caused an immense amount of cynicism as regards her approach. It's caused a lot of anger. Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, who represents the Madison area, in April sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice asking that they open an investigation of this clerk and her activities in Waukesha County. And I think that at this point, with another troublesome result, even if it didn't decide this race, another troublesome result, you really do get to that point where it would seem legitimate to have some outside entity come in and take a look at what is happening in what is, I would point out, one of Wisconsin's most populous counties. This is a big suburban county outside of Milwaukee that turns in a lot of votes, and if they can't run an election there, then we've got a big smoldy democracy problem in Wisconsin.
But, John Nichols, is she incompetent or is she partisan?
Is she part of the machine?
Is she part of the machine
and delivering for them?
This is not a case of serial incompetence. This is a case, you think, of partisan subversion of the process.
Well, I think what I will say is this. That's the question, incompetent versus part of the machine. My sense is that the pattern of her interventions raises legitimate questions about whether she is acting in a partisan manner, not in an incompetent manner, but in a partisan manner that benefits the people she has been politically aligned with for a long time. Those kinds of questions cannot exist in a functioning democracy. When the person who counts the votes is suspect, and not suspect just by you and I talking today, but an awfully lot of folks are troubled, including her own Republican county board expressing concerns, that's the point at which you really need to investigate and get to the bottom of it. And we don't need to make charges against this woman. What we need to do is figure out, what's going on. If she is incompetent, then she really should find something else to do with her time. She shouldn't be running elections. If she's not incompetent, if she's doing this for partisan reasons, then, she's doubly problematic and obviously would have to be removed.
Again, I'm speaking with John Nichols, who is the Nation Magazine's Washington correspondent and associate editor of Madison, Wisconsin's Capital Times. Just to get back to the national perspective, because this is a bellwether state and this is an early indicator of perhaps how things are going and perhaps whether or not there is a backlash. There's a general sense at the national level that the Republicans are in ascendancy and getting their way and driven by a small minority on the far right. They seem to be on a roll. And there is also a sense from the polls that the public is in general disgusted with Republicans and Democratic legislators. But that doesn't seem to be the case in Wisconsin. It sounds like there's some real political passions out there on the streets. And I understand that this recall movement didn't come from the legislators. It actually came from the people. Is that right?
I think there's no doubt of that. You can't recall someone in Wisconsin without having a mass of citizens who are engaged in the fight. Because to file those recall petitions, you've got to gather 25% of the voters in a district. It's a huge number of voters. And as a result, that requires you to have an army, a mass of folks who are going to go knock on doors, stand in front of grocery stores with their clipboards. I mean, this is real grassroots politics. And passions are very raw. They're very much on the surface. I was in a town, Portage, Wisconsin, yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, as the polls were getting toward closing. There was a line coming out of the polling place that stretched across a yard, across a parking lot. People were waiting as much as 45 minutes to an hour to vote. So people are taking this politics in this state very, very seriously. We don't have a disconnect there. But what we do have, and we've got to emphasize it, is we have an incredible overlay of out-of-state money, particularly corporate money freed up by the Citizens United ruling of the Supreme Court. And that is a warping factor. We cannot deny that, and I think it absolutely has an influence on how some of these races turn out, because while they may begin with grassroots democracy, people knocking on doors, people passing petitions, and from above, they're pressed down upon, they're influenced by, and a lot of non-grassroots democracy, national political money coming from billionaire conservative donors like the Koch brothers, and that is a factor on the other side. So, in a sense, we've got it all in play in Wisconsin, as we will in Ohio and several other states where some of these labor battles are going to be playing out as the fall goes on.
What has been Scott Walker's response to these results? How is he taking them?
You know, he's been relatively tame in his response. He's claimed a victory up to a point, but he understands the dynamic that is in play. What I said earlier in the interview about Dale Schultz, this maverick Republican, being very much in disagreement with the governor on some of the governor's core issues, education reform, privatization of schools, as well as the labor agenda issues, not just collective bargaining, but right-to-work laws and things like that. The governor knows that he is in a vulnerable place, and so he's going to wait for these two recall elections next week where Democratic senators face challenges to see, you know, really where he stands. As of right now, we still have a very volatile situation, even as regards control of the upper chamber of the legislature. And so, despite the fact that there's been some national coverage that suggests this is some sort of big victory for the governor, he recognizes he's still got some bites on his hands.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, John Nichols.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Ian. Great questions, and always glad to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with John Nichols, who is the Nation Magazine's Washington correspondent. He's also associate editor of the Capital Times, a daily newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin. He and Robert McChesney co-authored It's the Media, Stupid, and Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Sells Wars, Spins Elections, and Destroys Democracy. He also wrote The Rise and Rise of Richard B. Cheney and Dick, the Man Who is President, Dick Cheney. We're going to take a station break and we'll be back talking with Dahlia Lithwick about Dick Cheney, the angler, and whether or not he will be jailbait.
Well, I'm going to tell you, fascists, you may be surprised. People in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists, bound to lose.